our worship, yes, is directed towards God, but it's also, it does also have that aspect of encouraging and supporting and reassuring each other. And that is so important. And the little passage that Alistair read for us a few moments ago looks at this whole aspect of Christian friendship. And if you want to grab one of the Pew Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll look at some of those verses. This letter, the whole letter, is just marked by friendship. Much of Paul's writing is quite almost dense theology, and you have to unpick it word by word and sentence by sentence to try and make sense of it. But in this letter, it's just marked with friendship. It's marked with love. It's marked with care and concern. He uses the language that friends use between each other. He expresses his feelings for other people. He talks about this deep commitment that he has to the folks in this church in Thessalonica. You read through some of those, the end of chapter 2 there, you read through some of those verses and you discover things like, he talks about being torn from them. It's as though he was ripped out of their arms. Didn't want to leave them. He was torn from them. He talks about this intense longing that he has so that he makes every effort to see them again. He just wants to come to them. It's just the words of a friendship. And they're not just empty words. Sometimes we can say these things. You know the people you meet on holiday? And you say, yeah, we'll keep in touch. Yeah, it doesn't happen all that often, but sometimes we do keep in touch. It'd be very easy for Paul to write to this church far away in Thessalonica and say wonderful things about them. And yeah, but it doesn't really work out. But it's not just words for Paul. Paul and Silas and Timothy are involved in ministry. And to show his care and concern to these folks in Thessalonica, Paul actually sends Timothy. Now, Timothy's an important team player for them. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to go back to these folks in Thessalonica, see how they're getting on. Just remind them of our love for them. These are our friends in Christ. And so he sends Timothy through them. And actually, if you read the first verse in chapter 3, it says, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. Paul says, it's more important that I'm left on my own here, and Timothy goes and sees you. Even though we could really be doing with Timothy here, he can go and see you. We thought it best that we would be left alone. So he's a crucial part of the team, but Timothy's sent to see them. And then Timothy brings back this wonderful report. You always have pleasant memories of us, and you long to see us just as we also long to see you. There's this just this lovely friendship. Not just one way, but both ways. This mutual friendship. But it's more than just this warm, fuzzy feeling of, you know, the cup of tea or cup of coffee type friendship. This is much, much more. This is a deep desire. And let's hear what Paul's desire is. Verse 13, the very last verse that Alistair read for us. Here's Paul's desire for these friends, that they would have strengthened hearts so that they will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So it's not just about, I'd love to meet you for a cup of coffee, even though that's good, that's a great thing to do, and if you're free at the end of the service, you can do that out here. That's great. It's much, much more than that. Paul wants these folks to be strengthened in their faith so that they will be holy and blameless when Jesus returns. He prays, may the Lord make your love increase. Your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. There's this deep, deep concern that goes way beyond just being nodding acquaintances, just being those friends who meet up for a coffee every so often. Now, there is a place for doing that. Please don't get me wrong. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm always ready to go and have a cup of coffee. There's a place for that. That's good. That's right. That's important. But this is so much more. This is a strong desire to see these folks grow in their faith, to see them grow in their relationship with God. Now, growing is all God's work. No one else helps you grow. Way back at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, there's this division in the church there where some people decide, you know what, I'm going to follow Paul. And other people say, well, I'm going to follow Apollos. And Paul says, oh, hold on a minute. We all have our own jobs to do, but at the end of the day, it's God who makes you grow. And so he actually says, Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God's been making it grow. So we don't make people grow, we simply encourage and support them in that growth. The people that Paul's talking about here are people who are under pressure. People who are under pressure to conform to the rest of the world, and that's beginning to sound very familiar for us. Stop this Bible nonsense. Stop this following Jesus nonsense and just be like everyone else. That's the pressure that these folks were under, and it's increasingly the pressure that we're under. And so we need to be encouraging and supporting each other, especially in the face of pressure. The last thing, the very last thing that Satan wants for any church is for Christians to grow in their commitment to each other and their commitment to Christ. And so when we're doing that, we can expect things to be difficult. When we're growing in our commitment to Christ and our commitment to each other, things will get difficult. That's what this passage reminds us. And part of Christian friendship is actually speaking the truth to each other. Yes, life is difficult. Life may get more difficult. But we're in this together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you are. That's what we've sung. That's the truth. So Paul prays for these folks. He prays that they would have this overflowing love, that they would have strengthened hearts, that they would live holy lives. Great things to pray for each other. Overflowing love, strengthened hearts, holy lives. What would the church, and I'm not just talking about this little corner of the church, what would the church look like if we all took that prayer seriously and prayed for each other, overflowing love, strengthened hearts, holy lives? The church would be a very different place. Christian friendship is, of course, it's concerned about how you are. And, there are people that we say, how are you? And we just secretly hope they're not going to tell us how they are because we don't really want to hear it. But it's important that we do hear that. But also, it's important that we ask, how are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? How you are affects your life for days, weeks, months, years. How you are with Jesus Christ affects your eternity. It's important that we move beyond just how are you to how are you with Jesus? One of the things that delights me, excites me about Ballywillan is that there are groups of folks around the congregation who do just this. They meet up. Yes, they go out for coffee and they talk together, but they pray together. They support each other. They're in there with each other, just helping through all the struggles that they're going through in their own lives and their life as a Christian. And that is so important. And we need to increase that. But sometimes it's just difficult, awkward to have those conversations. How do you even start those conversations? Coming up in the autumn time, We're going to start a program, and I'm not keen on using that word, but that's what I'm going to call it anyway, where we're going to read together. It's called Immerse. And this is this edition of it. It's basically called the Messiah. It's just the story of Jesus. It's the words of Scripture. They're not in the order that we would normally read them in, but they're all here. It's just the words of Scripture. Nothing changed in it, nothing added to it, nothing taken from it. The words of Scripture. But they're easy to read because we've taken out all the verse numbers and the chapters and whatever else in it. It looks a bit like a novel would look. It reads much easier. It's strange doing something small like taking out those numbers and divisions. It makes it read more simply. What we're going to encourage people to do is to get together small groups and read through this over the autumn. Like a book club. I've never been to a book club, but I'm going to try it. Get together with just two or three people, read a portion of this, and then just simply talk about it over a coffee. The coffee's important. So it's one way of starting that conversation about how are you really? Not just how are the aches and pains, but how are you really? What's God doing in your life? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And as we start this, that's my hope and my prayer. It's the hope and prayer of our word action group as we roll this out over the next little while. Just groups of two or three, four people getting together regularly to chat Scripture, to chat about what God is doing in their lives. And it's our prayer that as we do that, that we will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing it. Not to fill your days, because your days are probably full already, but to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people have already signed up for these. I think we have about 50 names or so of people who've said they want to be involved in this. You're not too late if you want to sign up and be involved in it. We hope that sort of about the middle of September we'll be able to roll this out and start it properly. But if you're at all interested in this, and I really do encourage you to do it, you could read it in your own. And of course you could read it in your own. But there's something special about reading the Bible together and talking about it together. It's a bit like, you could have an absolutely beautiful meal. If you can imagine, I don't know what your favorite meal is, but imagine it set in a plate in front of you. But you're on your own to eat it. Or you could have junk food with a friend. I'd go to junk food with a friend anytime, rather than sitting on my own. You could certainly read this on your own, but the benefit comes when we read it together and share it together. Christian friendship. Not just a hello, how are you, but how's it really going in your life? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the concern that Paul had for those folks all those years ago, and we thank you that your concern for us is unchanged, that you still want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord, to find ways to do that. Help us, Lord, to find two or three people that we can be open and honest and supportive with, and then to encourage each other as we grow together. Lord, we look for your blessing, not so that we would be exalted, but only so that you would be exalted in our lives. So to you, Lord, be all the praise and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.